אדוני שבתי תפתח אופי יגיד תהילתך לעשות נחת רוח ליוצרנו. We just finished Sefer Bereshit. In Sefer Bereshit, Genesis, the book of Genesis, we learn a lot about dreams. There is a lot of dreams. To be precise, 10 dreams. But there are two that stand out. There is Paro, Paro the head of Egypt, the most powerful man in the world. We are told by Ikatz, and he awoke. He wakes up and he realizes he had an incredible dream last night. What was the dream? There was very powerful, healthy 7 cows. And then comes 7 skinny cows, and the 7 skinny cows eat the healthy cows, and they're still skinny, they still remain very small. He doesn't understand it. Ba'ikatz, he awoke. Does anybody have any idea what he does? This is the most important man in the world. He has the most incredible dream, the most important dream, probably in the history of the world. He has to feed every human being in the world. You know what he does? Ba'ikatz. He awakes. He has the dream. The next pasuk, Ba'ishan. He goes back to sleep. Ribono shel Olam, creator of the world, how is it possible? You're supposed to feed the whole world. Millions of people at that time, nothing to eat. And what does he do? He doesn't care. 10 more minutes. He can sleep another half an hour by Ishan. Later on, we learn, actually, way before that, we learn about another man. His name is Yaakov Avinu, Jacob. Yaakov Avinu goes to sleep, and he has a dream, and he sees a ladder, Sulam Magia Shaman. This ladder goes all the way to heaven, and he sees Malachim Olim Ve'Yordim, both angels are going up and down. Vayikatz, and he awakes. But he doesn't say anywhere. Ba'ishan, that he goes back to sleep. He realizes he's about to start the Jewish nation. This is not the time to go to sleep. This is not the time to go to sleep. This is the time to take your dream and change the world. Take a family, make it into a nation. The nation that will change the world forever. There is no time to go to sleep now. You see the difference? Paro. He thinks he's God. So much so that he believes that he created the river Nile. Ba'ikatz, he awakes. He doesn't care. Oh, big deal. Ba'ishan, you know, I'm a God. I don't need anybody. Paro. Yaakov Avinu wakes up. He realizes Borei Olam Ishtabach Shemo, the creator of the world, is giving him an incredible opportunity. And he begins to daven, to pray to the master of the universe. He builds a mizbeach, an altar. He brings an offering to God. He takes a family. He turns her into the nation that will receive the Torah that you and I are learning right now. That's the difference. Two people. One sees the opportunity and the world changed forever. The other one goes to sleep. Baruch Hashem, yes, Yosef was there to save the world. Missed opportunities. You're going to find in life many times, many people, they miss their opportunities. In 2005, there was going to be an event at a stadium over here in New Jersey. There was going to be 45,000 people coming to this stadium. And it was going to be the greatest event in a decade. And I went ahead 8 months in advance and I bought 2 tickets. I was so excited. Me and my wife, oh my gosh, we're going to go to this event for 8 months. We're so excited. We're going to the stadium. It's going to be the greatest, most incredible event in the world. And 2 days before the event, my wife, wifey, is sitting right here. All my Torah, shelib, shelachem, shelai, everything that I have, everything that I've ever taught you belongs to this woman, to wifey. Wifey says to me, I don't want the ticket. For 8 months, we've been talking about it. We're so excited. We're going to go to this stadium. We're going to have the greatest time of our lives. We spend a lot of money. We got all the way to the front tickets. This is a lot of preparation. Best hotel, best restaurants, limousine, everything. And wifey turns around to me and says, I'm not going. I want you to give the ticket to Gabriel, our son. My son was 7 years old. And we went and told my son, Mommy is not going to the stadium. You are Gabriel Dovber. My son started crying, he started dancing, he was so excited. 7-year-old kid is going to get in a limousine, he's going to go to the greatest hotel, greatest restaurants, and he's going to walk into a stadium where there is 45,000 people. My son grabs my hand, 7-year-old, Gabriel Dovber, as we walk into the scene, the Siyum Ashas, 2005. My son is 7 years old. My son told me that was the greatest day of his life. My son said that's when he got inspired. That's when Bayikat, he awoke, he realized who he was. He walks into this room and 45,000 people are saying Shema together. They close their eyes. Let me tell you, to say Shema with 45,000 people. Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto Leolam Baed, 45,000 people with all their might. My son told me, that was the greatest night of his life. To sing and dance with 45,000 people. To hear my Rebbe, his Rebbe, Rabbi Sofer Fan, to dance with him. He put him in his shoulders. That is the event that I'm talking about. It wasn't a rock concert. It wasn't a musician. People came from all over the world to learn Torah and to finish the Talmud 7.5 years, 2,711 pages. 5 years later, my mom was very ill. She had cancer. And I would go to Mexico all the time, every other week. I would get on the plane, travel from Dallas to Mexico City. And I tried to go as much as I can because my mommy was very, very ill. And I tried to see her as much as I could. One night, I arrived in Mexico City. 11 p.m. And hundreds of tourists are sitting on the floor. Immigration is closed. Mexico. You know, I don't know where they are. These guys are getting drunk. Only God knows what's going on. Immigration is closed. Hundreds of tourists are sitting in the floor. And we don't know when they're going to open immigration. We sit in the floor. I'm sitting in the floor. And suddenly I realize, you know, there are 2 ladies sitting next to me. And over here to my right, there is a Yerushalmi. Someone who looks really Jewish. You know, with the sidewalks. One of these people like this with a hat. And I see this man is sitting right there. He looks really religious. And I ask the 2 ladies next to me, would you be so kind if I sit next to my friend? He's not my friend. I don't know him. I've never seen him in my life. But okay, the lady said, no problem. I sit next to this guy. They look exactly like these people. The whole, you see this guy? That's it. Right. That's it. Just the beard was a little longer and the sidewalks were a little wilder. And I sit next to this guy and I said, Harav, would you be so kind, Rabbi, to teach me the daf? Teach me the page of the day. I will explain that to you in a minute. He opens the Talmud. He sits right next to me. And for the next 40 minutes, he taught me, a complete stranger taught me a page of the Talmud. The Yerushalmi, someone from Jerusalem, seven generations, who has never left Israel, never left Jerusalem, is sitting next to me, a little boy from Mexico. We don't know each other, we have nothing in common, but we have this page. The same page that every Jew in the world is learning at the same time. It doesn't matter if you're in Amsterdam, it doesn't matter if you're in New Zealand, if you are in Africa, Djibouti. You're in Mexico City. This man taught me for 45 minutes the page, the daf. After 45 minutes, immigration opened up. We were the only two people who really didn't want to get up and walk away. I helped them get up. He was an older man. I helped them get a taxi. I found them a hotel. I got him a restaurant. I got him a place for Shabbat. And we became friends. In 45 minutes of learning Torah, we became incredible friends. He doesn't have WhatsApp, he doesn't have email. He still writes letters. Once every, like 2 years, he says, Shana Tova, he sends me a note. The old way. Unbelievable. Who came up with this concept that every Jew in the world can learn the same page? It doesn't matter where you're from. You could be learning the same Torah, and someone from another part of the world could be teaching it to you. It doesn't matter if you know them or not. Incredible! What a genius! Who was this man? His name was Rav Meir Shapira from Lublin. A giant, a genius. He decided every Jew should be able to have something in common. But I want to tell you about Rav Meir Shapira and what a giant he was. Because Rav Meir Shapira became Rav Meir Shapira only because of his mommy. So today I want to tell you about the mommy, the ima of Rav Meir Shapira. In my eyes, my humble opinion, the greatest dreamer the Jewish nation has seen in this century. This woman would take little Meir by the hand, and every morning she would take him to the Melamed to learn Torah. And they travel a lot. They would move from town to town. And what did this woman do? This woman would always send a letter ahead to the new town, to the Melamed, to the teacher of the town. And he would say to the Melamed, to the teacher, I'm coming. I will be there on Sunday. Please wait by the gate. We do not want any batala. There shouldn't be the full Torah. We shouldn't waste any minute of Torah. And the Melamed, the teacher, would always wait by the gate. And he would teach her son. One day they gave to this town, and the Melamed, the teacher, is nowhere to be found. And this woman sat down at the entrance of the city and started crying and crying and crying. But Lil Meir, turns around to mommy and says, mommy, why are you crying? Mommy, it's okay. And the mom turns around to Meir, Lil Meir, and says, Lil Meir, you don't understand. The Meir says, we'll learn tomorrow, it's okay. No big deal, we'll miss one day, tomorrow we'll start. And the woman started crying again for 2 hours. The Meir says, mommy, what's going on? And the woman said, my dear Tayer, my love, listen to me, little Meir. You still do not understand the power of one day of learning Torah. But one day you will. And one day it will change the world as we know it. That was the mom of Rav Meir Shapira. One day, when the rabbi became so famous, one day he traveled to another city to meet his sister. He meets his sister, and the sister goes over. This sister didn't realize that her brother had become the Torah giant of the world.
My sister goes over to her brother. They haven't seen each other in a long time. And says, "My brother, my rabbi, I have a very strange dream. For the past 3 years, every night I have the same dream." And the brother says to his sister, "What is your dream?" He says, "Every night I have the same crazy dream. Mom is sitting in heaven, seven levels of heaven, in the highest level of heaven. She's sitting in the most beautiful throne made out of sapphire. And there are millions of angels dancing and singing around her. Do you have any idea what that means? Why is mom sitting in a throne and there's millions of angels, 10 levels of angels, millions of them singing and dancing right next to mom? Can you explain what's going on?" And Rav Meir Shapira turned around to her sister and he said, "Let me tell you the story. When I was a little boy, and she would cry because I was one day of work." Every person who learns that Yomi in the world adds more and more angels who dance and sing around this woman. Mom. That is the power of Torah.
I've always been bothered all my life. We're starting Sefer Shemot. We're going to be learning about something called the Mishkan, the portable sanctuary. I've always been bothered. Why did the sanctuary move around so much? The portable sanctuary was, so to speak, what the Jewish nation built, a tent that would travel around the desert until they got to Israel. And then it would travel all the time. The cloud would move, and they would move, the Jewish nation. And when the cloud would stop, that's where they would build camp, and that's where they would build the Mishkan. I've always been bothered. Why they moved around so much? Listen to what a friend of mine taught me. You right now in Yad Kala, you're thinking, "Oh my God, I'm so inspired. My advisors, my senior educators, these incredible people who work in NCSY, they inspire me. But what's going to be when I walk out of that door? What's going to be when I go home? What's going to be when I go back to my public school? What's going to be in 2 weeks, 3 weeks? When my rabbi, when my teacher, when my mentor, when my friends, when my advisors are not around, how am I going to take that inspiration with me? How is that going to work?" The reason why the Mishkan moved around is that you should know that God travels with you wherever you go. God's not just here in this room right now, and when you walk away, that's it, you left God behind. You are going to take God with you to your regions, to your countries, wherever you come from, to your public schools. And you're going to put a little chair right next to you, wherever you are in the world, right next to your public school when you have lunch. You will find 2 minutes and you will put a chair right next to me, to you, and you will invite the Master of the Universe, Mure Olam, Ishtabach Shemo, the Creator of the world, Shekhinah, and you will ask God to sit right next to you. Because God walks with you. Because God loves you so much that God will walk with you and will go wherever you go. And that's why the Mishkan moved around. So you should know that God is going to go wherever you go. The inspiration doesn't end here. It just begins. This is only the beginning. You have to believe that. A public school kid told me last night, "Rabbi, I just don't feel that I deserve even to learn Torah. Who am I? I'm a little public school kid. I don't know, is God really going to go with me? Why should God go with me wherever I go? Why should God sit next to me in my public school?" And I said to her, "Because your great-grandmother, when everybody else was bowing down to the golden calf, your great-grandmother said no. Because your great-grandfather was a Maccabee. Because your great-grandmother cried in the Holocaust.
so God should sit next to you wherever you go. So you have to believe, you have to really believe that God goes wherever you go.
I want to leave you with two thoughts.
The Tanakh,
there's 24 books of Judaism.
We have in the book of prophets and the writings. We have an incredible story about two men. Two men. One of them, his name was Boaz, and the other one was named Ploni Almoni.
Ploni Almoni? Joe Schmo. The Torah, the Tanakh doesn't even record his name. The Torah doesn't even care to write his name. Ploni Almoni, Joe Schmo, that one. What did he do? What was so horrible that they don't even record his name?
The other one, Boaz. There was an incredible woman, Ruth. And Ruth was a giant. And she needed a husband. And Boaz stands up and says, I want to be your husband. Together, we will start an incredible part of the Jewish nation. The King David will come out of it, and eventually Melech HaMashiach, the King, the Messiah, will come out of this relationship. Boaz stands up and he seizes the opportunity. Ploni Almoni misses the opportunity completely. He misses it completely forever, for life. And until today, thousands of years later, he's known as Joe Schmo. Missed opportunities. Let's make sure that when you walk out of the door today and you go home, you take advantage of everything you gained here. Let's make sure to continue to build the way Yaakov Avinu did it. He didn't go to sleep. I'll end up with a story. The story changed my life forever. Anyone ever heard of a man named Howard Schultz? Raise your hand if you ever heard of a man named Howard Schultz. Raise your hand if you ever heard of Starbucks.
Howard Schultz, Starbucks, famous man, wealthy man, goes to Israel, goes to Jerusalem, walks in to see Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel. In my eyes, the greatest man I ever met in my life. And no one tells these people, very powerful, very wealthy Americans, no one tells them that Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, the head of the greatest yeshiva in the world, had Parkinson's and he was shaking. No one told them that. These wealthy people are sitting in a table. Howard Schultz, the owner of Starbucks, and he sees Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel walks into the room shaking. Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel sits down and says, gentlemen, I know you're busy. I'm only taking 3 minutes of your time. I have one question. What did we learn from the Holocaust? And people say, never again. And another one said, we have to fight back. And Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, shaking with Parkinson, said, no. That's not what we learned. Listen to what we learned. As the Germans SS Gestapo put us on those trains and they took us starving, freezing, and we got to Auschwitz. And they removed the people from the train cabins and they put them in their cabins, bunks, whatever you want to call it, barracks. They gave six people, six males, one bed, six females, one bed, and they gave one of those six people one blanket. And that person had to decide, is that blanket mine? Am I going to go to sleep when it's freezing out there in the middle of Bavaria, when it's snowing? Am I going to take the blanket just for me? Am I going to push it to the other side? And every single Jew, every night, it doesn't matter if it was freezing, even though there was only one blanket for six people, they pushed the blanket to the other five. And the other five were doing the same thing, pushing the blanket to the other five. That's the spirit of the Jewish nation. If I can ask everybody to please stand up. You're going back to your regions. You're going back to your cities. You're going back to your countries. You were given a blanket. In Hebrew, the word blanket means smicha, which means that you were taught Torah. That's what it means. When someone becomes a rabbi, they get smicha, they get a blanket. It's complicated. Another day, another time. You were giving a blanket. You were giving all this Torah. You have to make a decision. Am I going to keep it to myself? Or am I going to push it to another five people, wherever I live? Santiago, Chile, Buenos Aires, Argentina, Calgary. It doesn't matter, New Jersey. It doesn't matter, West Coast. It doesn't matter where you come from. You go home and you push back to every other Jew that you know, to at least five more. You're going to teach them the Torah that you learned here because that's the spirit of the Jewish nation. Because that's what you came here to do. You didn't come here to learn Torah for yourself. You came here to learn Torah for every other Jew. If I can ask all the girls on this side, hold hands, all the boys on this hand, on this side, hold hands. And we are going to, for 1 minute, we're going to learn a song. In the back, if you're so kind, they can play the song. The only move I have.